your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's the Locked On Sabres podcast. Joe DiBiase, your Thursday morning edition of the show. Jordan Hanskin will join me following the Sabres-Bruins game on Thursday night. The podcast will be ready for you to go on Friday night. Kind of a brief episode today. There's really not a ton to talk about. I mean, I could preview this game at length if you wanted, but I don't really think a Sabres-Bruins game on April 22nd, when there's 10 games left and the Sabres are in dead last, is really all that interesting, especially when the Bruins are clearly in the top four in the East. I've said it a couple times on the podcast, but the East division is wrapped up. The Bruins have 58 points for that fourth and final playoff spot. The Rangers have played two more games and are 6 points back with 52 points. The Flyers have played one more game. They're 11 points back with 47 points. I think the Flyers, who we're going to talk about on this podcast for a different reason today. It's an anniversary of sorts. The Flyers are kind of the big surprise in that division this year. They're the reason there's no drama. Because coming into the year, it was, all right, there's five really good teams in the East Division, but there's only four playoff spots. And who is going to falter? Who's going to sputter and who's going to miss the playoffs? You had Washington, the Islanders, the Penguins, the Bruins, and the Flyers. And there was some thought that, like, hey, maybe the Rangers could surprise. Even I thought maybe there was a small chance the Sabres could surprise. Never really thought the Devils could. The Devils actually were the team that started doing that, though, at the beginning of the year. But it was Boston, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, the Islanders, and Washington. And there's never been any drama because the Flyers collapsed. Like, the 20-30 game mark of the season, Carter Hart just couldn't even be on the ice anymore. They had to not even have him be the backup. He was practicing by himself, and they just really fell apart. And that's been the biggest reason there's been no race. I always thought Pittsburgh would be the team most likely to fall apart like that in this division this year, but it was the Flyers. So the one-off Mass Mutual East Division, not much drama going on. So there's not even a chance for the Sabres to play spoiler in this regard. Actually, the most interesting part of the standings right now, the Sabres are 3 points back of the New Jersey Devils for last place. The Devils lost their seventh game in a row on, I believe it was Monday night, maybe it was Tuesday night. They're on a seven-game losing streak. They have played one fewer game than the Sabres, but they are 3 points ahead of them with 34 points. The Ducks are 4 points ahead with 35 points. Not really that worried about the standings at the bottom this year. It's not like the McDavid-Eichel draft. There's not a ton on the line. You could have four or five different guys go first overall. I did think it was interesting that Bob McKenzie, said this last week that 10 out of 10 scouts he's talked to recently all had Owen Power, defenseman from Michigan, as their number one draft prospect. And that's kind of a change of pace, because Power a year ago would have been the number one guy. Easily. Like, Owen Power a year ago was the top draft prospect for 2021. But as the months progressed and others started to develop and others played well in their junior leagues, and Power didn't have a stellar Michigan season. He was great. He was their number one defenseman. They were good, but you didn't have these electric plays that were hyping people up for him. And he's not really that player, and he never will be that player. But I remember watching Bob McKenzie's NHL draft show 6 months ago, and the first thing he says about the draft is there's no consensus about who the number one overall pick is. And when I had Chris Peters on a couple weeks ago and doing preparation for interviewing somebody about the NHL draft, you're looking around at different mock drafts. I probably looked at six or seven different mock drafts, and there were five different guys put at first overall. You would have Power. You would have Luke Hughes, who's going to Michigan next year. Andrew Beniers, I think, is another player. The names are escaping me now, but there were like four or five different guys. Swedish defenseman, Edvinson, I think. Power was trending down as a prospect. And now, a month later, when he hasn't played any games, he's back as the consensus one? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I wonder if, as we get closer to the draft, that will be kind of poo-pooed, that we'll get back to a debate about who the number one overall pick is. I hope it is. You know, I'm not going to lie. I had a 9-month off season here doing this podcast. We could use some content. And some good content would be if there's a debate about who the top prospect is. The most interesting draft that the most interesting buildup to a draft I've ever experienced for the Sabres was 2014. Just, you know, with buddies talking about the draft. You know, I wasn't in media at the time. I was, how old was I at that point? 7 years ago. I was 18 years old. So, you know, I was just doing college stuff at that point. But me and buddies going back and forth about who we want second overall. Do we want Reinhart? Do we want Bennett? Do we want Dreisaitl? And you had different people on each side of the fence. It's like, oh, Dreisaitl's this big power forward, like Joe Thornton comparison. Like, yeah, I want Joe Thornton. And then Reinhart was like this, at the time, if you remember Reinhart's comparisons, it was Patrice Bergeron. You know, it was that ultra-smart, savvy, sneaky good second-line center, first-line center. And then Bennett was just this electrically fast, you know, skilled center, lay a little bit undersized, but you had three different types of players, and three different types of people would want different players. You have debate. You would have content. And I'm hoping that happens for this draft. I don't want Owen Power to be the clear number one. The Sabres might not end up with the first overall pick anyway. In fact, the odds are against that. So there's a little spiel about the draft, what's upcoming, and a spiel about why it doesn't really matter why the Sabres are in 31st. But it's something to track. They are 3 points behind the Devils. The way the Devils look right now, the Sabres will catch them. So the Sabres could pick as low as fourth if that happens. Sabres and Bruins tonight. The most interesting thing about this game will be if Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen plays. If you're listening to this after Don Granato has spoken to the media on Thursday, which I'm recording this before he has, there's a chance that he's announced Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen will be the starting goaltender. Either way, if it's not tonight, it's probably going to be tomorrow night. Dustin Tokarski's been playing every game. He's been playing a big workload. Luukkonen is healthy enough to be the backup. I have to imagine he's playing one of these games. I'd be stunned if he wasn't. And the way Granato sounded on Wednesday, I would guess that Luukkonen is going to play on Friday night. He has not been good in Rochester this season. In fact, he really has not been good since he had hip surgery in 2019. But this year with the Amherst, 14 games played, an .888 save percentage. And last year with the Amherst, in 10 games, he had an .874 save percentage. In the ECHL, a .912 in 23 games. It's about average, at least by NHL levels. I imagine it's similar in the ECHL. This year with TPS in Liga, in 13 games played, he had a .908 save percentage. So in the AHL, he's been darn right bad. The other leagues he's played in, he's been good. He's been okay. So it's kind of a stall in his development. But I think you can really chalk that up to the hip surgery and kind of stalling his development. Now, hopefully it gets back on track. There's, without injuries, there'd be no reason to think he'd be NHL ready. But it is finding out stuff season. And one thing to find out is how close Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is to returning or becoming an NHL goaltender for the Sabres. The way he's looked in Rochester this year, I have no reason to believe that it would happen next year. You know, if he were to go on some torrid streak down the stretch here for the Sabres, then that would change my mind. I don't really see that happening, though, given his play with the Amherst. So at this point, I think you'd have to project that Luukkonen will not be with the Sabres, or at least should not be with the Sabres, until the 2022-23 season. And next year will be two guys that either they don't currently have on the roster if Linus Ullmark doesn't re-sign, or it'll be Linus Ullmark and somebody else. But Luukkonen, unless, again, there's some big games coming for him in Buffalo, not a guy that I'm projecting for next season. In fact, we did our line of projections for next year, and I'm not even sure his name was mentioned. Pretty sure it wasn't. So, but he'll be interesting to watch. He'll be wearing number one, by the way. I talked with Mike Shope about this on WGR, that number one is not a number I love for goalies because I feel like everybody always wears it. But Mike made a point that I don't think that goalies don't really wear them anymore. Like, how many goalies in the league are currently wearing number one? The Sabres haven't had one since Jonas Enroth. And, well, I guess Andrei Makarov played one game for them. But Enroth was the last full-time Sabre goaltender to wear number one. And before that, you got to go back to John Blue in 1996. So I don't know. Who wears it? Varlamov wore one for Colorado. I know he wears 40 now for the New York Islanders. Luongo's gone at this point. I mean, he was a famous goalie that wore it for a very long time. I'm looking at, like, the leading goaltenders this year in wins. Vasilevsky, 88. Grubauer, that's 30-something. Fleury, 29. Hellebuck, 30. Tristan Jarry might be number one. Nope, 35. 35 for Tristan Jarry. How far do I got to go? How far do I got to go? UC Saros is 70. Varlamov, I mentioned, is 40. Vanacek is some big number. Mike Smith, no. Talbot, no. Martin Jones, no. Is there any number ones? There's got to be a number one. There can't be none. Jack Campbell used to wear number one. He wears 33, though, now for the Leafs. Robin Leonard's a no. Rask is a no. Ilya Samsonov is a no. Casey DeSmith. That's it. Casey DeSmith wears number one. Phew. See how far down I had the list I had to go through? I had to get to Casey DeSmith with the Penguins. Okay. You know, Lukanen, big name on the back of the jersey. Little skinny number one there. We'll see how it looks aesthetically, but I'm excited to see him. It's something new to watch, and that the Sabres should just rotate through that, right? Rest of these games, pick a new player that we'll be interested to see and put him in, and just keep it going. All right, when we come back, we got an anniversary. The last Sabres playoff win was 10 years ago. We'll talk about that game when we come back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase. This episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Saber games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase, the ultimate mock draft 2021 NFL mock draft. not NHL. We're not there yet. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey, is happening now, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason Lacanfora, and Brian Baldinger, our local experts for every team making trades and picking the next stars for their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. It has been 10 years, exactly 10 years, Thursday, April 22nd, 2021, the 10-year anniversary of the last Sabres playoff win, Game 5 at the Philadelphia Flyers, the you-want-to-be-a-hero, Tyler Ennis is a hero goal. That is the last playoff win for the Sabres. It's their last overtime playoff win, of course, and it's been 10 years. I mean, Ennis is still in the league. It's funny to look at that game and look at the rosters and just see how few of those players are even still playing hockey. Ennis is one of them. Ennis, by the way, had 2 goals in that game, that game 5 against the Flyers. I don't remember a lot about that game. Ennis, by the way, this year has played for the Oilers. I think he got waived at one point, but he's back with them. He 9 points, 28 games. So Ennis is still in the league. Miller is still in the league for the Ducks, but that's maybe this is it for him. And I think that's it. Vanek is gone. Pominville is gone. The Flyers had who? Claude Giroux in their lineup. He's still playing. And that's Zach Rinaldo still in the league? Could Zach Rinaldo be one of the few players that's still left here? He was playing recently. No, last year. Rinaldo, last year, 4 games played for the Calgary Flames. But not still playing this year. Maybe in the AHL or something. But that's it. Isn't that crazy? No, there he is. Braden Coburn. We got one more. Coburn, who was actually traded at the deadline to the Islanders. So you've got 4 players. Is that what I counted? Ryan Miller, Tyler Ennis, Claude Giroux, Braden Coburn. I did miss one more. James Van Riemsdyk, who's back on the Flyers. So yeah, I don't remember a ton about that game. I remember the goal itself. It's, you know, the joke that like Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 always makes it, for any trade proposal ever, is Mike Weber, Tyler Ennis, and a second-round pick. And that goal was Mike Weber from Tyler Ennis. It was Tyler Ennis from Mike Weber. It's a Weber shot that gets through, and Ennis just buries the rebound. So that game was on Versus. That's how long ago this was, and it feels like a lifetime ago. I'm looking at some of the highlights right now. Just the jerseys look so old. Grignani is the other defenseman on the ice for that goal. This is the game also where is this the game where they make fun of Nathan Gerby's height? Versteeg does it, I think, where he like puts his hand above his head, like, this is how short you are, and then Gerby just annihilates him with a giant hit. Gerby in that series too, he was good, but that was the last Saber playoff win. I don't have a lot of more memories from that game specifically other than the overtime goal. The series itself, of course, I mean, it felt like they had it in the bag. You know, that team was like a team of destiny. Like, they had been the best team in hockey from January on. The Flyers were this juggernaut, and the Sabres had just beaten them in the regular season. They get them in the playoffs. They've got Miller playing great. They take the series lead at 3-2, going home in Game 6, and it felt like they were going to win the series. And that was, I think after that game, was the first time I thought, okay, they could go on a deep playoff run here. You know, even the whole run to making the playoffs, it was always about just making the playoffs. I never thought anything about they're going to win rounds once they get there. And even once the series starts against Philadelphia, it's like, all right, we're happy to be here. This is fun. But it was like playing with found money, you know? There was really no pressure to lose the series because you were this fun story, but the Flyers were like a Stanley Cup contender. And the Sabres were never thought to be that. But when Ennis puts that goal home in Game 5, it was like, all right, is there something more here? You know, can Miller carry us through series? Can this defense core carry us? Can Tyler Myers, and playing in his best, Can he carry us? You know, is there enough here to be able to win a couple of rounds? I had that thought after Game 5, but of course they fell apart in the late stages of Game 6, and Game 7 was never close, and that was it, and they have not been back since. So feel free to share any memories of that game if you got them with me. It's not really a memorable game other than the overtime game, but you can hit me up on Twitter at SneakyJoeSports and the podcast at LockedOnSabres. Again, me and Jordan will rejoin you for the podcast. We're going to record on Thursday night, and that's tonight, and we are planning on doing a locker room tonight. I got to make sure that's okay with Jordan. So if not, it will come tomorrow. So stay tuned at Sneaky Joe Sports for the latest on when we're going to do our next locker room chat. Again, if it's not tonight, it will be tomorrow night. So enjoy the game tonight, Sabres and Bruins. Hopefully we get a game of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to talk about afterwards. We can evaluate his first NHL game. And, yeah, so come back for that tomorrow morning. Here on the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase. Thanks for listening.